Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Hello, and welcome to part one of a three-part program featuring the life and times of Jack Levi. I'm Rob Greaves, and I'm your host for this program. Jack was born in Melbourne in September of 1950 to parents who themselves were born in Egypt and who came to Australia and settled in Melbourne in the late 1940s. Jack initially talks extensively about his parents, especially his father, who he said dominated the family, as was not only the case in general in that era, but also reflected his Egyptian upbringing. He also talks about his mother, who is still alive and approaching an amazing 98 years of age. Jack also shares his mother's tips for longevity, a discussion that should interest all of us. Jack's story finds him recollecting his early years, his experiences as a boy, his school years before he takes us into the 1960s, which leads him to talk about his university experiences. Being studious and focused, Jack graduates as a computer programmer in a period where computers were in their very early infancy. We also touch upon social issues of the day, such as the Vietnam conscription, which he was eligible for, but as he says, he was fortunate as his marble never came out. The election of Gough Whitlam in the early 1970s was a moment of great meaning for Jack, who also points out that while he fully supported the Whitlam election, he's remained a swinging voter to this day. However, many listeners will find what comes next as possibly the most engaging, as Jack begins the story of how he became a professional comedian, a story that we follow through the following two programs. Here I am talking with Jack. I'm in the home of Jack Levi, and first of all, Jack, thank you very much for inviting me into your home. And I'd like to start off by asking you, when were you born and whereabouts were you born?
Yep, born in 1950, September 1950, so I'm a Virgo, and I was born in Melbourne, Australia.
So you can't get any closer to your birthplace than where we are in Elwood, basically.
Exactly.
Jack, what would be your earliest memories?
Let me think about that. Well, one of my earliest memories is being at a wedding and being very tired and being put to sleep in the bed of a house where the reception was. The reception was in a house and I was put to bed and then woken up at 1 a.m. and taken home. So, I mean, that was one of the earliest memories I had, but I don't know whether that's really significant in my life, but that's just one of my early memories. You know, I must have been about 3 or something like that.
Okay, well then let's just follow that. You use that word significant events. What would be an early significant event that you could recall that comes to mind and means something to you?
You mean in my very young years,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah.
One was being taken to Glenferrie Oval to see a Hawthorne football match at a very young age, and just fell in love with the game and became a Hawthorne supporter, and still am. So that was at a young age, and Glenferrie Oval had special meaning to me, and it was only walking distance from my house as well. So actually, if I ever go past Glenferrie Oval these days, I always get a bit of a tear in the eye because a lot of those memories flash back of when I was a kid looking forward to going to the football every week.
Was that because your dad was a Hawthorn supporter?
No, it wasn't at all. My parents weren't into supporting football at all, but just a mate of mine took me and I immediately fell in love with the game.
Fantastic.
And the ground.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, well, it's certainly a very historic ground. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, Glenferrie Oval, yep.
Dad, I mentioned your dad. What sort of person was he? What do you think about Dad when you recall him now?
Look, I think he was like many dads. His emphasis was on, earning money and work. Not a lot of time spent with us with leisure activities. He kind of left that to Mum. So he was more a hunter and a gatherer, as many dads were in those days, not very engaging. He was a bit aloof. He had a tough childhood, so I understood that. And he had a bad temper as well. It was again, a lot of dads did have in those days. He was born in Egypt, as mum was. They came to Australia in the late 40s. So I think there was a bit of a culture over there where the man was the dominator and was allowed to lose his temper.
Right, yes.
So it was very male-oriented, male-dominated society in Egypt, and I think he kind of brought that over, and he had a low tolerance for things that we did that were naughty, me and my brother. Yeah.
Was your brother older than you or younger?
Year and a half younger, yeah.
Right, but that's still pretty close enough to grow up together, isn't
it?
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about mum? What sort of person was your mum?
Oh, look, fantastic. She was struggling in the marriage, I've got to say, and when that broke up in 1970, she felt liberated, and she's been a very happy soul since then, you know, very happy in her liberation, and turns 98 very soon, and has got some great tips on happy longevity, which other people have listened to with interest, yeah, because she lives what she says.
Can you recall any of those tips?
Yes, not to have any regrets from the past, to be kind to people, to laugh a lot. It's like internal jogging, as she put it. And just to see every day as a bonus, not to think or to put aside the things that bother her, like her arthritis, you know, her fatigue sometimes, you know, just put those things aside and just see the bigger picture, you know, where she's at. She's got two wonderful boys and she's still alive at nearly 98.
That's a fantastic age, isn't it? I mean, you mentioned she put those forward in terms of a assistance for longevity, but in some ways they sound very much like very grounded philosophies for life in general.
Yeah.
I mean, if you follow those, you'd live a reasonably relaxed, happy life.
Yes, that and also exercise and eating right.
Of course.
And all of that. And trying to have a stress-free life, that's important. So she was very stressed for the first 23 years of her marriage and then was liberated, and nothing was stressful after that tough marriage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Taking you back to being a young boy, what primary school did you go to?
I actually went to Auburn Central School, and coincidentally we had our annual reunion lunch yesterday. We got 10 people. Normally there'd be closer to 20 to 25, but there's still some COVID jitters out there still.
Yes, there is.
At this age group. Also others have moved away. They're interstate now, or they're in the country, so that was a bit of a barrier. But yeah, we're thinking that next year, if the COVID jitters fade, then we might be approaching back to the 20 people. Yeah.
That's pretty phenomenal, really, that a group of people some 60 plus years ago still can get together. I mean, that doesn't happen too often. Has this been a long-term thing, or was it a more recent event?
It's a more recent event. I think it's only in the last 5 or 6 years that we've been doing that. Two or three of us used to catch up, and we thought, well, we're enjoying it. We're enjoying the reminiscing. We're enjoying the nostalgia trip. Let's expand it. So we went out of our way to try and contact people that from our school days, and long process, but we got a fair number of names. I think we've got about 30 names on the list.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so it's terrific. And, sadly, I think we've lost 7 people from our school year. We finished Auburn Central in 1964 before I went on to high school. And, so we've lost 7. I think it's 7. Although one person that we reported as deceased has suddenly come to life, so we got that wrong. And
resurrection.
A running joke is you look amazing since you've come back to Earth. What's your secret? No, it's a running gag,
course,
and we actually continued it again yesterday. A guy called Ian, a great sense of humour, one of the brightest sparks of the group. There's some people that are very sedate and others that are still got that vim, you know, that vitality, and Ian is certainly one of them.
So then my next question should be relatively easy for you to answer, because I'd like to investigate what life was like for you at school. What experiences did you have? Were they good experiences?
Yeah, they were. if you're talking about Auburn Central and then Camberwell High.
Well, Central first.
Central first, yeah. Yeah.
And this is Listen to Older Voices. Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
They were. I remember being intrigued with a game called bat tennis, you know. Yeah.
Oh, bat.
Bat tennis, yeah, with a flat bat. And you'd hit over a low net. You know, that was exciting for me and a game I played a lot. I was very academically inclined, so I did well at school. I think I got top male student 1 year at school, which was great. I remember being form captain in 1964, so that was my last year at Auburn Central. I was form captain. In my last year at Camberwell High, I was form captain, so a little bit of symmetry there. Yeah, so I had some good friends at school.
I don't think we still have central schools anymore. Can you explain to people who might not be familiar with the term, what's the difference between a central school and just a primary school?
Yeah, I can't recall, but it is now called Auburn Primary, but it was called Auburn Central in those days.
Was it only a six-year group of people?
Yeah, well, I think it was 4 years at school. It was grade 3, 4, 5, and 6, I think.
Uh-huh.
But you also went on to Form 1 and Form 2.
At the same school?
Yeah, at the same school.
That's what might have been the difference.
Might have been the difference. So when I went to Camberwell High, I went into Form 3, 4, 5, and 6. That's correct. That would make it 65 to 68 at Camberwell High. And, yes, that was the key difference, that you could do Form 1 and Form 2 at the same school.
Right. Before we look at the experiences in high school, keeping you at that age group of, 6, 7, 8 years of age, what sort of things were you involved in for recreation? What was it?
Well, a lot of bat tennis, as I said.
Because life was quite different then.
Yeah, it was. Oh, just simple pleasures. Going out with the family, going to the beach. I put a lot of time into study, I've got to say. I was very academically inclined.
Did your family afford you much freedom in terms of what you did outside the house?
Yeah. You could hop on your bike and just ride anywhere, you know. It's a little bit different today.
Yes.
Yeah, but no, I was able to, I guess you could say I put a lot of time into riding my bike. I was excited about getting that. Just catching up with friends at the park, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, you could do you were a lot more liberated then in terms of your movements than you are now.
Certainly were. And whether it's a fallacy or not, I'm not certain. There was certainly, an element that it was a lot safer, that your parents didn't need to worry about you quite as much as parents do now when they don't see their kids around. Would you agree with that, or do you find that opposite?
That was the perception, but I think there was still problem people out there. There was still a need to have you. There was still that stranger danger, but it's been a lot more publicised now and a lot more publicised and it's in the media a lot more.
Well, that's for sure.
And there's, of course, you've got videos and things that, never had before. So a lot more education to warn kids, but it has made them a bit paranoid. I know that.
Mm.
It's made parents and kids a bit paranoid, but there's so many other issues today for young kids too, like cyberbullying. And
absolutely. Yeah,
there's a lot of challenges for young people, a lot of them.
Yes. I don't know what, maybe that is the reason. I was going to say I'm not quite sure why there are more stresses, but I think it might be very well be those things that there just seems to be more access to people these days, and with access to them, whether it's through social media or whatever, comes the stress of having to both protect and be protected. And, we didn't have that as young kids. That didn't have that sort of, that kind of stress.
No, we didn't. No. And there seems to be a bit more evil too amongst children. I think in increasing, there's a large proportion of kids that are in dysfunctional families, and I think they displace their aggression towards others. And, so there's a lot of cruelty in the schoolyard.
Yes.
Real bullying and cyberbullying.
Yes. When you moved from central school into high school, you would have been moving basically into your teens. Life takes on a little bit of a different perception as a teenager. Can you cast your mind back to then, and what was the difference for you when you, in those days, to being a young kid? Did you start to go out to and do different things, or did life just sort of transition smoothly?
I think it transitioned pretty smoothly. Stopped playing table tennis, but then got into volleyball, you know, and squash. So new sports. Continued going to see Hawthorn play football at Glenfrey Oval, and sometimes I'd go to places like the MCG. Would start going to school socials. That was different. Camberwell High used to have a deal with MLC, where the boys from Camberwell High could join up with the girls from MLC and go to a social. First time I ever saw Russell Morris, who's actually a mate of mine now, Russell Morris the singer, was at MLC in 1967, the school social there, and he was in a band called Somebody's Image.
That's correct.
Their big hit, I think, was Hush.
That's right.
So that was the first time I saw the long head. Not so long head anymore. Russell Morris. Yeah.
Quite a wonderful period to grow up in, that period of the 60s, the mid to late 60s, because you hit upon Russell Morris, but the music scene in Melbourne was just exploding. Did that grab you at all, or were you fairly isolated or insulated from that? Did you go to many dances and many venues?
I probably started to do that more in the early 70s, I think. Yeah, so the early 70s, I used to go to places like Opus and Bertie's and Sebastian's and places like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful lifestyle, wasn't it, to be alive in then?
It was, yeah. It was a simpler time. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Did you see your high school experience right through to year 12?
Yes, I did, yep. Yeah. Matriculated and got a Commonwealth Scholarship and went on to uni. Yep.
Which one?
Melbourne Uni.
And you did what?
Computer science, you know. Well, you could say it's information science, you know, IT, yeah.
And you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices, featuring the life and times of older Australians.
That would have been cutting edge at that stage, wasn't it? I mean, it was really new.
Absolutely. I think I was in the third intake and at uni to do it. So, yeah.
What do you recall in terms of what you were exposed to then that is so different to now?
Punched cards. Had to get a deck of punched cards. That was your computer program, you know. That was assembly languages. They were quite remote. Instead of, you know, I was doing COBOL, studying COBOL and Fortran, but also assembly languages where the instructions were three-letter mnemonics like car registration plates. In fact, I used to, when I was deep into that, every time I was in a car, I'd see a registration plate, and I'd think, oh, that's CLA. Oh, that's an instruction. Yeah. So it really, you pick those things up. So what was the question again?
Oh, well, the question was about how different it was to the computers today and what they would be teaching today.
The power of computers then was nothing compared to today. You know, you've got all this power at your fingertips now.
Yeah, and a mobile phone.
Yeah, and a mobile phone. And you got the power in your fingertips that was in the power of many rooms put together.
Sure.
Yeah.
University life, was it an enjoyable life for you?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I did well at uni, got the odd third class honour and whatnot. I think one of the most enjoyable things is that I was doing a science degree, but I also chose to do psychology in my first year. So I did physics, applied maths, pure maths, and psychology. And that was a subject that I really loved doing, you know. It wasn't all about symbols and things like that. It was actual real life stuff. You learn about social psychology and learning abnormal behaviour. So some really meaty subjects. So I really actually enjoyed doing the essays and going to the classes in psychology. Yeah.
What was your ultimate goal in doing that course? What did you want to end up doing?
I wanted to get into computer programming and also be a systems analyst. That was the goal, to be a systems analyst.
Did you achieve that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. I was a trainee systems analyst initially at a commercial union insurance company, and then became a systems analyst there, and then later on at a crowd called Telecom. Yeah.
You would have been just too young to be involved in the draft for the Vietnam War. Would that be right?
No,
or did
I
you get caught
I,
up in that?
No, I didn't get. I didn't. No, my marble wasn't drawn out, but it could have been. But other friends of mine had their marbles, their numbers drawn out, or their birth dates. So I could have easily have gone to Vietnam. Yeah.
Would have that been something you could have accepted readily, or would have been something that would have disturbed you?
Would have disturbed me. I hate the whole thing about people killing each other.
Because there was quite a lot of big community or social backlash back in the early 70s and late 60s, wasn't there, against that?
Yeah, well, in 1970 we had the big moratorium, didn't we, led by Jim Cairns. Was it 100,000 people or something like that, I think? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of people in those days. Today,
yes.
Yeah, 100,000 might not be considered so big, but given the population.
Yeah.
Did you get involved in any way at all?
Look, I didn't. I was going to go on the march, and I decided not to, but I was going to smaller rallies against the conscription, against conscription, and but I wasn't as active. I was more absorbed with my career and putting a lot of work in to make sure I pass. So I wasn't active, like say was it Albert Langer in the old days? Yeah.
Weren't too many Alberts.
No. And but I was rapt that we had the moratorium. It was time that we had that.
Yeah. Yes. It's time. That was also a political phrase at the time with the election of Gough Whitlam. Do you recall that?
I do very well. I actually went to the St Kilda Town Hall with my dad and my brother, and we were inspired by Gough Whitlam's speech and then the whole atmosphere of the venue. It was a Labor Party support rally, and I thought it was time. Yeah, and I voted for Gough at the time. I'm a swing voter, I've got to declare that. But I voted for Gough at the time, and that was in 1972, if I recall. Mm.
Because we did talk, well, I mentioned a little earlier about that period being a period of great social and technological change, but it was almost like Gough summed it up and became the focus for that social change, didn't he? And when we say we probably were ready, life was pretty grey before that under conservative control. Gough seemed to inspire and have a vision.
He did. He had a vision that Billy McMahon didn't have. And, that was terrific.
Yeah. Yes. You mentioned that you moved, you kept working as a programmer and you went into telecom. How long did that last for? Was that a very lengthy period or was it a stepping stone?
No, I went to telecom, I was only a couple of years at Commercial Union and then went on to telecom. Actually did a course at telecom as well. They wanted to put me through a course as well that just broadened my skills, which was good. And then I got onto computer projects. In fact, I ended up being a project manager before I crossed in my last few years at telecom. I got interested in marketing, so I became a marketing analyst
Years. What is a marketing analyst?
I was just a... a marketing analyst just analyzes trends and issues that, I haven't really got a clear memory of what I was doing there, but I was labeled a marketing analyst. Yeah.
That tells a story.
It was just something I got interested in. The motive of me getting interested in getting into the marketing area was that I had a new career emerging and I wanted to market myself. So, by going on marketing courses that telecom put me on, I learnt better how to market myself in my new career.
Are we talking about your alter ego?
Yes, we are, yeah.
So, maybe you could explain how all this came about.
Well, are we ready to talk about my alter ego, are we here?
Well, I think we'll dip in and out because we're still in the 70s, aren't we?
Yep, yeah, well, in 1980 I did an acting course and the teacher at the end of the year said to me, Jack, you're never going to make it as an actor because you haven't got that range of facial expressions. So I thought, well, maybe there's something in this. Maybe I'd try out as a stand-up comedian and lean more towards the deadpan, which was natural for me. So in 1981 at La Joke, which was upstairs Last Laugh in Melbourne, in Collingwood, I just tried out some material and, you know, it was basically a comedy of errors, you could say. One good night was followed by two, three or four bad ones, but I just kept at it and finally cobbled together about 4.5 minutes of material that was working. And when it came to doing an audition for a TV show called You're a Star, I was ready with my 4.5 minutes and did that, and the audition went well. They put me on the show and that went well. And then the Darryl Summers show, the crew from the Darryl Summers show saw me on You're a Star and asked me, and rang me up at home and asked me to do exactly the same material on their show, which was the Tuesday night, Tonight Show.
Do join Jack and I next week as Jack reveals who his comedic alter ego is, an alter ego who became a household name throughout Australia thanks to many TV appearances, not the least being the Darryl Summers Show and then Hey Hey, It's Saturday. That's next week, part two of The Life and Times of Jack Levi. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Uniting Victoria Tasmania. The program is funded from the Commonwealth and State Government's Home and Community Care Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.